guys, welcome back to Be Unemployable. It's me, Maggie, and I am here with Lainey, and she is going to be talking with us about email newsletters. Let me tell you a little about her. She's an email copywriter and strategist. She has over 6 years of experience writing for Fortune 500, coaches, basically you name it, she's likely done it. But we got to get into this today because I asked her to come on when she was telling me about newsletters. And I was like, all right, wait, stop talking. I need you to come on the podcast and tell me everything. So here we go.
Love that.
Thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me, Maggie. I am so happy to be here. First of all, I fucking love you. Can I curse?
So much. All the time. The whole time.
Awesome. I fucking love you and your podcast and everything you do for creators in this space. I am so happy to be here.
I love that you, as soon as you started, like we were in the DMs, and as soon as you started telling me, I was like, stop it. Stop. You're coming on the podcast to talk about this. I don't even want it ruined for me in the DMs. I just want to talk about it live. So yeah. Tell me what's going on in the newsletter space. What results have you seen? Tell me everything, because I want everyone to know what's up.
Yeah, of course. And by the way, when you told me to stop, that was the nicest, kindest shut the fuck up I have ever gotten. So thank you.
Oh, that's me. Telling awesome. People to kindly shut up.
Awesome. Cool. So newsletters, you know, I think that from my experience, newsletters are so overlooked when it comes to businesses, small businesses, big businesses, you name it. They tend to be ignored because business owners and marketers alike don't really see it as a money-making machine. They just see it as an inconvenience, you know, oh, I have to sit down and come up with what to write, what to send. Let me just write this real quick, send it out, and that's it. I am done for the week. So when they see the results, they're like, all right, so this is not delivering what I expected it to deliver. So I am going to stop working on newsletters. So what happened recently was I started writing copy for a fintech, a well-known fintech. And
thanks, NDAs. We can't talk about who. Thank you.
I can say the name, but they will.
We know. We all know them.
Yeah. So, I noticed that they had a large pool of email subscribers that were not being tapped into. So I decided to filter them based on the last date that they received an email. And it was over a year ago, over 90 days ago. And I was like, okay, so the problem here was that they were focusing too much on acquisition. And I'm talking about paid advertisement. So Google ads, Facebook ads, and when you really think about it from an outside perspective, it's like, okay, you're spending so much money trying to acquire the lead, but then when they join your ecosystem and you don't do anything with them, they will join the pool of the forgotten people that you could have tapped into. So yeah. What I did was I decided to filter them out based on the last date of contact. Why did I do it that way? There were so many people on that list. I had to find the best way possible to segment them because they also didn't have a lot of data. So segmentation was messy. So the first thing I did was I went ahead and I created three segments. So those who did not receive any email from us over 1 year ago, those who haven't received anything over the past 90 days, and then those between 30 and 60 days, which would be the warmer people. So we have extremely cold, we have, you can cook it a little bit, and then we have warm. So all three of them received newsletters. So for the first segment, 30 to 60 days, what I did was that I sent out the first email and it was a self-segmentation email. So that's when I added three links And I asked them, hey, which of these three would you like to learn more about? And after they clicked on any of those links, they automatically joined that segment. So that's kind of how I started segmenting people when I had zero to limited data about them.
Okay, so let's stop there for a second and break it down for people listening, because we are all neurodivergent here. Like, let's just be transparent. So you are going a mile a minute and I'm keeping up. But if listeners don't know what we're talking about,
no,
you're going perfect for me. Okay. But that's why I'm taking a break to tell people who are listening. I call them Lizzie Listener. So the person who is listening is Lizzie Listener, and she's like, what the hell is self-segmentation? And you just broke it down perfectly. You send an email and you say, hey, which one of these makes sense to you? Are you person A, person B, or person C? And then they click a link according to whatever, like, hey, do you have a problem with this? Are you currently looking to do this?
Right.
Or are you like maybe hanging out over here doing this thing?
Right.
And they're like, oh my God, I'm totally B. And they click it. And then now you know who you're talking to and what you're talking about.
Yes.
Right. Okay, yes. Cool. So just for clarity's sake, that's what we're talking about now.
Yes.
So that's a self-segmentation. All right, go on.
Awesome. So now after they click on that link and they basically added themselves to the right room, virtual room, they want
yes.
to in.
Yeah.
Million.
That's perfect. So now they're hanging out in the room.
Yes.
And now you can sell to them.
Yes. And now because we know what they're interested in, let's say they want interior design tips on how to make their rental look like they freaking own it, but they can't do shit
yeah.
in it. Then we will go ahead and send them value-packed emails with tips and strategies on how to make that space their own without it actually being their own. So I have this, it might be cliche, but it works for me and for my clients, the 80-20 rule. I think
yes.
that every single market has an 80-20 rule. So this might be cliche, but 80% value, 20% asking for the sale, because the last mm-hmm. thing you want is for every single email you send out to be selling. I would unsubscribe you, block you, spam.
Yeah.
I would no.
I will never, ever, ever speak to you again.
Ever.
Like you, and I will tell everybody about you. Like I will yes. tell everybody about how you are a used car salesman's lead
yeah.
bag.
And actually that will also blacklist you within your ESP and email service provider and mm-hmm. ruin your reputation, because who does that? Who's always selling stuff? Spammers and scammers. So
yeah.
you want to make sure that you're actually providing value. So how exactly do you provide value? That's a question that I always get. They're like, okay,
yes.
what the fuck is value? What am I supposed to do for these people? You do not have to reinvent the wheel. I did not work extremely hard on those newsletters. Here's what I did. I went and analyzed popular blog posts that we already had live. And I added the little snippets with a link within the email. And of course, you cannot just tell people, hey, go read something. You have to tell them why. And
yeah.
what I'm going to take away from it. Because if you send me a DM, hey, Eleni, can you read this? No, I don't have time.
What right.
what is that?
Like, there's no incentive.
No.
And you're asking them to click out of their email box where they already are.
Yes, that's too much work for them.
Way and if you're work. Like me and you are like severely ADHD, where you're like, if I click out, I'll never go back. And you know that about yourself.
Same.
You're like, I can't leave.
Same. Yes. So what I did was a little snippet of the blog post, the link for them to click. And I also explained how reading that blog post was going to help solve a problem that they already mm-hmm. had, so that they could obtain more value out of that blog post. I know that I may have lost some people, so I will explain it better. Let's say they have a rental and we are going with the interior design example from before. So they have a rental. What's the problem? The floor. I haven't had a rental in my life with good looking floors.
Right.
Ever.
Right. Right.
Being from New York, I have never seen that.
They don't have nice floors there.
They don't. Not unless you pay like $8K a month. And at that point, just get a house.
Right.
So the floor, you cannot change the floor, but you can purchase certain items that you can put over the floor to make it look a little bit more pleasant. It could be a rug or one of those stickers that they sell for the floors. I forgot the name of them, but the point is that let's say we have a whole blog post on ways to uplift your home by revamping your floor for less than $100, whatever. So the problem here is they have an ugly floor. They want to make it pretty. They want to feel like home and they want to do it in their budgets. So the value would be give your floor a facelift without breaking your bank in less than X number of days, so that when you come back home from work, you don't feel like you hate the space you're in right now.
Yes.
Because that's what I felt in New York.
Yeah.
And that's how we approach that value-packed email. Another way to provide value would be sending them directly to your social media. And I'm not just saying click here to follow me on Instagram, because again, why would I want to follow you on Instagram?
Right.
We're telling them, hey, come to this Instagram post. It's a reel where I talk about this and this and that, so that you can walk away with actionable steps on where to find this type of pillows for your couch, whatever. The point is that you always want to tell them exactly what they are going to walk away with. And if you are sending them to your social media accounts, don't just send them to your overall page. Pick a post that is applicable to their problems and they will go consume your content and follow you. So now we're talking about growing outside of your email and you still haven't spent a dime.
Can I just tell you that that is a tip that I don't do and need to do?
What?
Like, I've never done it. I like when I tell people to go follow me on Instagram, I'm like, just follow me. I don't know.
I would never follow me.
You follow me?
Of course.
That's because we met outside of Instagram. But that's a genius tip. That's so smart. Okay. I'm going to say it again for everybody because I don't do this and I'm going to start. So when you tell people like, hey, follow along on Instagram or whatever, be like, here is what you need to see on Instagram. Like, here's what you've missed on Instagram. And then point them to a very specific piece of content. If it's a reel, obviously is the best performing right now, but
yes,
point them to a very specific piece of content and then give, you know, the benefit of why they would want to read it and what it is that you're solving for them with this piece of content. But that's what I personally haven't been doing. So just so you understand how valuable Eleni's content is on this podcast, I'm learning shit. This is why I was like, stop talking to me right now and come on this podcast, because I know her information is so good. She's such an amazing, amazing copywriter that I was like, please stop talking to me and come on this podcast. So yeah, I literally was like, please shut the fuck up and book a time with me. And she did, because she's amazing. So, all right, well, continuing on. Okay.
Awesome. And going back to the same Instagram post, if you are following social media content best practices, that post itself is going to have a CTA, a call to action.
Yes.
So they will do
it better.
You better. Yeah.
Yeah.
You better.
You better. If not, you need to go and analyze my posts because I've gotten really good at that. I've stepped my game up. Yeah, really I've stepped have. My game up. Except for when I give like an update on something. And like on my recovery, I gave an update and I didn't really give you a CTA. But other than that, I'm super good at CTAs now.
You really are.
Yeah. So no big deal or anything, but I'm a pro.
You really are.
Anyway.
I love your content. It's also very easy to consume.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm getting really good at social media after being on the internet for like 25 years. I've gotten really good at it. It's wild.
I literally just got back into social media over a year ago because it always puts such a bitter taste in my mouth, but now I love it. It's weird.
Pro tip, before we get back to newsletters, pro tip, you can choose who you can follow. So just get rid of all the people that you don't, that don't bring you any kind of happiness or don't enhance your life in any way. Just get rid of them. Great. And then all of a sudden social media is fun.
Amen.
That's it. That's all. That's what I do. Like I just uninstall TikTok and I just uninstall stuff that stresses me out.
Yes.
And then hang out where the good stuff is and unfollow all the people I don't like.
Yep.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy. Like, okay. So back to it.
Back to it. Awesome. So another question that I always get is, all right, Eleni, so when do I start selling within my newsletters and actually making money from my newsletters? One could argue that you can easily just add a PS below your email content. I do that now. I'm testing with it. So every single newsletter that I send out, towards the bottom of my actual content, I have two ways that I can help you. So one of those is by booking an email strategy call. Another one is by me doing the done for you email sequences. And below that is also getting newsletters done for you, which is a membership. So first, I structure my emails in this way. I introduce the problem with a hook that I know they're experiencing. So let's say low email open rates. If you have low email open rates, you're like, heck yes, what is this? So you keep reading and then I agitate the shit out of that problem. I make you feel it so intensely that you're like, yeah, this is the problem. What can I do about it? Then I introduce the solution, and within the solution, you can do two things. One, you can actually give them strategies and tips on how to solve the problem, or you can just introduce your product with, of course, the value add. Like, all right, once I click purchase, what's waiting for me on the other side? What am I going to walk away from? Or you can do both. You can explain, like give pointers, like, all right, so step one, do this. Step two, do this. And by the way, I have this amazing resource that have helped my clients get a 70% email click-through rate increase. You can check it out here. The point is that you also don't want to sound too pushy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You also want to provide value and point out the fact that you know what you're doing. You know your shit. You have this amazing product that you know is going to help them accomplish the problem that they're currently facing.
So here's my question. As someone who is neurodivergent, we tend to struggle with rejection sensitivity, right? Mm-hmm. Like if someone tells you no, or someone's like, you sent too many emails or anything like that. Like we take it to heart and we're just like, all right, so fuck this, fuck you. I am shutting everything down.
Okay.
What would you say?
Do you ever, or does anyone here believe in cleansing their home or taking some sage and just staging things or.
Yeah. Like just getting. Yeah, like getting better energy, like just like why you would open your windows to get fresh air, like well, that.
Here's the beautiful thing. When it comes to those people who say, no, you send me too much crap, they're saging themselves. You don't have to lift a finger to eliminate the people that you do not want to work with anyway. Why in the world would I ever want to work with someone that's complaining about how much value I am giving them for free?
That's so good. So good. So the reframe here is, why the hell would you want to work with somebody who is complaining? You don't want to work with a complainer.
No.
So when someone either complains in your inbox, unsubscribes, it's fantastic because what you're doing is clearing out all of that gross shit so that you can actually talk to the people who want to be there.
Yeah. And you also get an open rate boost.
Yeah.
Which will make your current email service provider so happy.
That's an awesome way to look at it.
Yeah. Just so recently, good. One of my business friends unsubscribed from my list. At first I was shocked, but then I said, thank you.
Yeah. Like, I unsubscribe from friends' lists once I find myself deleting it unread. I will unsubscribe because I'm like, I'm hurting you. Like, I'm not doing you any favors.
I'm doing you a disservice. Like, I'm not buying your shit. And if I were to buy your shit, I would probably get a friends and family discount, which I don't allow my friends to give me discounts, by the way. But sometimes there's no amount of no's that will stop them.
Right, right. And sometimes what ended up happening is you don't buy through an email. No. You message them and say, hey, I want to work with you. Like, this is what I need to buy. Like, what is that? Like, when you want to work with one of your friends, you don't buy it through a link in an email. No. You reach out to them and you tell them what you want.
Yeah.
Because you probably aren't buying a package that they sell. Realistically, you want something that you want to collaborate with them.
Yeah.
It's different. Yeah. It's just different.
For those of you who are afraid of rejection and hearing no, I know that I am. It's just how I grew up. That's the way that I choose to see. Like, if you were complaining about the free value that I am giving you, I do not want to work with you on a paid basis. You're going to be a headache. You're going to give me migraines. My pills for migraines don't fucking work.
Right. I just changed my migraine meds. Like, I don't need to go through testing them with you.
No. They don't do shit for me anymore. So
right.
Just prevent, like, migraines at the root.
Oh my god, I love this. So that's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. All right. Anything else we need to know?
Let's see. Another question that I always get is, how often should I send newsletters?
Yes. So, good question.
Personally, I only send one newsletter a week, and that is what I called the Copy Brew newsletter, because first of all, I am obsessed with coffee. I love coffee. I cannot live without it. So when I went through this huge rebrand, I wanted it to be very coffee-based. I love coffee. I'm a New Yorker. Give me my coffee. So I call it the Copy Brew. And that goes out every Tuesday, exactly at 9:05 a.m. Eastern. So my email list knows exactly what to expect from me and when. It's once a week. And I also tease the upcoming newsletter on social media. So it goes out every Tuesday. On Monday, I announce what's going out on Tuesday by first highlighting the problem again. So last week's newsletter was about email sequences. And you'd be surprised with the number of business owners and marketers that don't have email sequences in place. So I framed it as, are you leaving too much money on the table from your email list? So that got them thinking. Then I introduced the problem, and the solution was clicking here to receive tomorrow's newsletter on how we can solve this issue and get actionable strategies. So I teased it on Monday, on Tuesday it goes out, and then on Wednesday I tease the upcoming newsletter by saying, hey, did you miss today's newsletter? It's okay, just click here so you don't miss next week's.
That's so good. And you've seen amazing results from this?
Yes. So my email open rate on average is like 74%.
Jesus.
About 74%. Now, that is not a flex. That does fluctuate. It depends on many things. So the time of the year, who has unsubscribed, who has joined, but if it fluctuates a lot. So I don't want your listeners here to be hyper focused on subject and open rates, because that changes a lot. And to me, that's just a vanity metric. To me, the real metric is, are you actually helping someone with their problem, and are they getting the value that you have made your goal to deliver?
That's so awesome, though, that you practice what you preach and you see those amazing metrics as a result.
Yeah.
Yeah. That just shows your expertise.
I mean, yes, but at the same time, I see it as a doctor. So a doctor is there to help you, to heal you, but it doesn't mean that they don't get sick.
Right.
So even me being an email strategist, I do tend to see low open rates, low click-through rates, but it is my job to find the problem and start testing and making it better.
That's a big thing on the podcast, is figuring out, like, showing the behind the scenes and how everything's not perfect.
Yeah.
Even when it's our job to solve these problems, we're not perfect. None of us are.
Nope.
And we can show these amazing metrics, and we can show, like, we practice what we preach, but sometimes shit sucks and we have to figure out how we broke it and then put it back together.
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome not to be like, it's awesome that you break your shit, but like, it is. It's awesome that you break your shit sometimes. And then you have to, like, reverse engineer, like, how did I break it? What do I have to do to put it back together? Mm-hmm. Like, that's really cool.
Yeah. I love it.
Because, it's so cool to be like, oh, broke my shit. Nothing works. Got to put it back together. And then you can actually, like, come over and be like, hey, so I broke my shit. This is what I learned about it. And now you can learn from my experience.
Yep.
Oh my God, it was so good having you on. Where do people find you? Where do they meet you? Like, where do they hang out with you? I mean, I know because I hang out with you, but like, where do other people?
Hang out with me on Instagram. My handle is witcopy. Also, my website is witcopy.com. It's very straightforward. It's 7 letters.
Yeah, it couldn't be easier. Oh my gosh. And she just went through a rebrand and her shit is so cute. I didn't do it. So if I tell you it's cute and I didn't do it, it's cute.
Yeah. Every time I do something like design related, I always send her a message saying, hey, is this good? Are you going
to Are you gonna make fun of me behind my back? No, I'm not. No, I'll make fun of you to your face.
Yes.
Like, that's who I am as a person.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't do the behind the back shit. I do to your face.
Yes.
That's me. So thank you for coming on.
Thank you for
having me. Oh my gosh. It was so good. All right. If you have any questions for Eleni, just hit her up on Instagram, witcopy. You can also find her by going through the people I follow, because I have been following her for like a year plus. Like, I love her.
Yeah.
All right. Bye, guys. I'm not doing the usual stuff because you guys know where to find me. Actually, it'll just be in the show notes. So go there, find all the stuff, including Eleni's stuff. All right. Bye, guys.